Right, Joe Fisher joins us now, voice of the Vanderbilt Commodores, for our daily update, talking Vandy sports. And, Joe, first of all, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How are you?
Doing Joe, good call last night.
Thank you.
And good job putting the ball back in play when Bob Horner couldn't come up with it.
Well,
over there.
It came raining down on us from behind, and we had to recover quickly. So it bounced actually all the way over us into the row behind us where the riders were, and then it just kind of miraculously appeared in our lap. So we handed it back.
Horns cannot move like he used to. Anyway.
Well, he blamed it on the people behind him.
Right? I would too. Joe, the shots, the doors, and you pointed this out, the shots, the doors missed early in the game, and Kevin reiterated this. Stallings after the game really came back to haunt them. They could never hit that big shot to get to within two possessions in the second half. We were talking about that period with 7:50 to go.
Yep.
They're down 8, 57-49, and had a number of possessions over the next 3 minutes. Tennessee didn't score, but Vanderbilt didn't either. And I agree with you that, in a sense, really sealed their doom.
I don't think there's any question about it. You kind of had the feeling that as poorly as they had played offensively, if they ever got it down to 4 or down to 5 and the crowd could have gotten themselves back into the game, you know, don't really know what would have happened. But give Tennessee a world of credit. They played, they were more aggressive. They were the more physical team. They made big shots. Anytime that Vanderbilt did get it down to 8 or a couple of times to 6, you know, even at the end of the first half, you know, Vanderbilt gets it down to 26-20 and Williams hits a shot with about 15 seconds left for the 8-point halftime lead, and you had to think Vanderbilt going to the locker room down 8, shooting 18% from the field, had to figure, okay, you know, guys, considering how bad we've played, we're not in bad shape. But the offense never really got on track, and I think that really put a lot of pressure on them defensively. Then, you know, it had to be in their minds, okay, we can't allow any score, can't allow anything to happen. And that makes it even harder to play, and it just sort of all snowballed. But, you know, I think Tennessee deserves a ton of credit. Chisholm hit two big three-pointers when he came off the bench in the start of the first half that pushed the lead out suddenly to 10-1, and that really got Tennessee running. And then Vanderbilt, it was a big punch that Vanderbilt never really totally recovered from.
Joe, A.J. Ogilvy saw Tennessee, you know, help off other guys onto him, and he only got up 6 shots. I know he faces a lot of pressure when he has the basketball and, you know, just trying to get the ball and get shots. But I guess he has to figure out a way to, you know, put up more than 6.
Oh, I don't think there's any question about that. And I think a part of that has to go with the offense around him. I just don't think offensively Vanderbilt did a very good job of moving the ball, of moving around offensively. Tennessee was, for the most part, sort of able to just pack it down inside and didn't have to do a lot of movement to keep up with the ball. And as a result, when it did go down inside, they already had 2 or 3 defenders in there waiting on it. It was just, I know Kevin is very frustrated that this team has not been able to offensively do the things he thinks it can. And you know, there's only so much, I guess, a coach can do. You know, you can put players, we used to talk about this with football guys. Remember years ago, you could only so much that a coach can do in terms of getting a player in a position to make a play. Then the player has to execute it. Well, when you look at the stat sheet and you see, you know, Beal 1-for-7, Ogilvy 1-for-6, Taylor 1-for-7, you're probably not going to do very well if those three guys have that kind of night. And that's sort of the way it played out. Now, George Drake stepped up, had a career night, you know, tried to sort of throw the team on his back and infuse a little energy. But as you said, Mark, they could just never get that next one that they needed to get to within 2%.
And Joe, you know, in defense of, you know, listen, I'm going to defend Kevin's players here for a second. Because the last few years, if Derek Byers missed his first 7 shots, he wanted to take the 8th.
Sure.
Same for Shane Foster. I think these guys, I think Tinsley and Taylor and maybe not Beal, but the young kids are probably still a little bit inhibited that they don't want to, you know, submerge their team because they're having a bad shooting night rather than go with their shooter's mentality and just keep jacking because eventually they're going to start going in.
No, I think that's true. And I think we kind of had a feeling early on when Vanderbilt fell behind in the first half, they missed several point-blank looks, you know, inside. There were offensive putbacks that were, you know, right there at the rim that just wouldn't go. And that stuff begins to build up on you, that frustration builds, especially on the younger team. And Tennessee, to their credit, you know, took advantage of it. They fed off of it. They got energy from it. They challenged everything inside all night long. And they just played a very solid basketball game. And now, you know, Vanderbilt's got to find a way to recover, get over this, because there's still a long way to go in the conference. But when you lose a game at home, you know, you really sort of dig yourself a bigger hole. Now you've got to go on the road at some point and get one to get back, you know, to 500, to get back even. So they put a little pressure on themselves right now, but hopefully they'll be able to recover and find some offense.
Joe, we'll talk more about that tomorrow morning. Thanks a lot.
Okay, guys. See you tomorrow.